opened up unto God's people. And I tell you, as I was standing there, the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and said, the windows of heaven have been opened up, have opened up unto us. That means you and me. And it's like I just, oh my God, thank you, Lord. Could you see? Only God can open up the windows of heaven and pour out the blessings, not just finances. That's one of the things, though. We don't want to leave that out. But He can open up the windows of heaven. And when He does that, there's no limit. Oh, can you imagine? No limit. That means what we ask of the Lord, if it's according to God's will, it shall be done. My God. So you know what? It says that we can ask the Lord for the heathen and He will give it unto us. We can ask Him for our children. We can ask Him for our spouses. We can ask Him for family members. We can ask Him for Gaydon, Kaplan, the Million Parish, the state. And He said He would give it unto us because the windows have been opened up. And when God opens the windows, nothing can stop it. We think, well, you know, the devil has power. He can. No. Yes, he does have power that God has given him. But it does not compare to the power of your God. It does not compare. God has more power as He sits. The Father sits upon His throne. God has more power in the tip of His little pinky finger than what old Slewfoot has in his whole body. And He has given that power to the church, to the people, to go and win the loss at all costs. And so God has opened up the windows of heaven and He says, come on, let me show you what's going to happen. People, we're in 2013. The harvest is coming like never before. Like never before. We're going to have people walk into this place that will make us want to fall down on the floor. But you see, we're going to be full of the Spirit of God. We're going to say, thank you, Lord. And the power of God is going to knock them over. I was just talking to someone this morning, and they were telling me about, you know, we don't know all the things that are happening in the world, but we should, you know, we don't even know what's happening even in our own town or cities. But I tell you, God is moving. You know, she was just telling me about what God was doing and how God was setting people up to bring them here. That's the power of God. That's the presence of God. Let me tell you, this place has been, yes, as a town left behind, but God has never left it. And He is going to pour out His Spirit upon you and I and change us and do things that we never even thought of and use us in areas that we never thought of. All we got to do is be surrender to Him and let Him move. And let Him move. Well, that's just Lanyard. But I tell you what, thank you for coming to church this morning. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You have something good to say?
You know, there's a lot of times, and I do the same thing. We don't thank God for what He gives us. One thing this past week has really got me. I want to thank God for Brother Joe and Sister Jill. They're dedicated to this church, and not just to the church building, but everybody in here. And it's fabulous to us. There was a lady I met in Abbeville that wanted to know where the church was so that they could go. And it's going to grow. But I want to thank God for Brother Joe. They've heard his preaching before. You know, it's going to grow. I thank God for you.
Well, I thank God for you.
You know,
too.
It's like you get things, and it's like our kids, and when we were kids, you get something, and okay, that's good. But you don't really, it doesn't sink in of how lucky we are to have a pastor like that. That's just my opinion.
Well, thank you. Bless I appreciate you. Your blessings. Amen. Amen. You know, and you know, Jelaine and I, we thank God for y'all. My God. You know, this week I told Jelaine, I said, my, I just came out. I think I came out of the bedroom and I just said, we have a great church. I mean, look, I mean, we don't have problems. I mean, but that's just the Spirit of God. I mean, you know, you hear the horror stories, but it's like, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the people, the hearts of you. I mean, you just, I know I preach some strong messages at times, but you see, I need it. I need it. And you need it, and we all need it. But you see, the Word of God is what keeps us on track. To get the things that God wants us to get. And, you know, I thank you for that compliment. And I certainly do appreciate it. But I tell you, we love this place. We love you guys. And, you know, we'll do anything we can to help as much as we can. Because you know what? We want to see you grow and see you used by God to the fullest potential. You know, when they lay me down in that grave, if God doesn't come first, I want something basically to this saying, not exactly, but maybe basically, he did all he could for the Lord. He did all he could for the Lord. Because that's all that matters, people. You know, we have that building we're building, and that's great. And I love it, thank God, because God knows we need it. But you see, it's not buildings. It's people. It's people like you and you. People that touch the heart of God. And that is the heart of God. And whenever a church leaves the people and thinks it's anything else, the heart going astray. We got to keep that in the forefront. Yes, pleasing the Father, but it's about souls, people. Because once somebody dies, the family. That's right. That's right. You know, and you might say, well, you know, God, there's only 20, 25 maybe here today. There's so many people that God is working on around this place. Let me tell you. He's just working. He's just working. We just got to keep praying, keep believing, asking God to move, guys. We have prayer on Wednesday night. You need to come and help Jelaine and I to pray, to break those bondages, break those things that are holding people back from coming, and asking God to move. Because the Spirit of God has been released. The windows have been opened. For us. My God. That is absolutely great. Great. Because now we can petition before Him. It's just open. It's open. Not to what is every church open? Not every church is open to the Spirit of God. That's the fact. But you know what? God is looking for people that will humble themselves, pray, seek His face, and let God move. And change people. Well, we certainly thank you for that compliment. And amen. We certainly do appreciate every one of you guys. Everyone. Amen. Well, all righty. I want you to turn. This is just about the tithe and offerings. I think it's Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. You know, we certainly thank you for your tithe and offerings to this church. Thank you. Thank you. You know, you might say, well, you know, Pastor, you know, does mine help? Yes, everybody's helps. Everybody, no matter if it's your tithe, it helps. God knows what we need, want, and desire. In Proverbs chapter 3, it says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Honor the Lord. God, when you go to that box and you give your tithe and your offerings, It's an honor. You're honoring your God. And I want to thank you for giving like you do. We certainly do appreciate it. Last week, we picked up $621.50. And I certainly do appreciate that. Thank you for trusting us with your money that God has given you, that you have worked hard for. And we certainly do appreciate that. Give God what is His first, and you'll see the blessings of God. God will move mountains and change things. I know we've all been in a place where, you know, things get a little tight sometimes, and but we've all seen the hand of God move like never before. How He can change a situation around. Praise God. So thank you for your tithe and offerings to the church. We certainly do appreciate it. And we pray the blessings of God upon you and your family. Let's take our Bibles and say, let's make our declaration before our God. Say, this is life. I will honor it today as this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm just reminded, you might say, well, why do you make that declaration before God? We're saying, this is life. This is the only life. I will honor it today as you honor the Lord. Honoring it. You know, a few years ago, I was sleeping and I had a dream. And I dreamed that I was preaching. And right before I started preaching, I said, let's make our declaration before our God. And I quoted what I just quoted to you. And when I woke up, I knew exactly. You know how sometimes you dream and you forget? I mean, you don't even know you dreamed. Then you're trying to remember what you dreamed and you can't remember it. But I knew exactly what it was. And so I wrote it down and I said, Lord, from this day forward, you know what we need. And so that's why, you know, been doing it. You know, honoring the Lord with His Word this morning as it brings increase into our hearts and into our lives this morning. I want you to turn to Genesis chapter 32. Genesis chapter 32. And Ron, the building, what's new this week? What's going on?
Just put on electrical when you run. Running's all run. Set of stages done.
Okay.
The doors.
Okay.
Mainly now it's going to be good for trim up.
Okay. All righty. Good, good, good. All righty. Great, great. Okay. All righty.
Hopefully.
Okay. Okay. All righty. Sounds good. Sounds good. Amen. Thank you. Oh, okay. All righty. Yeah. Amen. Amen. That's right. That's right. Thank you, Lord. God knows. God knows. Genesis chapter 32. Before we read the scripture that I want to get to, I want to give you maybe a little background or premise of the events leading up to what we're going to read in Genesis 32. Genesis 32 is talking about Jacob and Esau. You know the famous twin brothers? The famous twins? These twin brothers, you know, they had a struggle in the womb of Rebekah, and one came out holding the heel of the other, and there was a prophecy there with all that. But it came down to the point after Jacob and Esau were born, and they were elderly men, they were men now, that their father, Isaac, said that his eyes were dim now. That means he was going blind, he was old, you know. And so Isaac says that he needs to give the blessing to the elder son which wasn't Jacob, which was Esau. And his wife, Rebekah, which is the mother of the twins, heard that it was time for the blessings. And so Rebekah, after hearing that, runs to her son, which is her favorite son, Jacob, and says, look, your father is about to give the blessing to your brother. We need to go in before he comes and gets the blessing. You and I need to go in, or you need to go in and receive that blessing first. So they came up with all kind of trickery. They came up with all kind of deceit. And you know, trickery and deceit and maneuvering never pays off. It might pay off in the beginning a little bit because you get the pleasures of all this stuff. But it always comes back to bite you. And as Christians, we need to realize that. We need to watch these things. Watch not to be trickery and watch not to be deceitful knowingly. You know, sometimes we may do something and we just don't realize maybe the impact on certain things. But to knowingly do something like Jacob and Rebekah did, knew that trouble was coming. And so we need to guard our hearts, guard our lives from any of those deceitful things that comes from the pit of hell. And so, you know, Jacob, you know, his mother goes and she prepares meat for him and all this stuff. And they put on sheepskin on Jacob because his brother was very hairy and he wasn't. And so he went in to his father and he brings in the food. And his father says, my, you here quickly. Well, you know, yes, yes. And he makes sure, hearing that it was, he wanted to make sure it was Esau, the father, but it was really Jacob. And he touches his hand, his arms and all that stuff. And he prays the blessing upon him of the firstborn. And his brother, after that, they leave and his brother comes in, prepares the food, Esau, and brings it to his father. And he says, Father, I'm here. And the father realizes that he's already prayed the blessing on Jacob, which tricked him. And Esau gets mad and very upset and angry. And all of a sudden, we see a split up within the family. We see Jacob going in one direction and Esau going in another direction. And it destroys, basically, because I don't know if Jacob ever saw his father again or even his mother again. It doesn't clearly say so. I know he saw his brother for sure. But there was a split up there. Jacob had to run for his life because Esau had vowed that he would kill his brother. And he was coming for him because he had taken what was his. But in actuality, as we read scripture, he really gave it to him for the bowl of soup or beans or whatever it was at that time. So here we want to pick up the story and see where after years and years of the split, after years and years of trickery, after years and years of deceiving his brother, God is finally bringing things back together and is going to heal things in both of their lives. And that's the kind of God we serve, that will bring back things and heal areas in all of our lives and in the area of Jacob and Esau and all their families' lives. So let's pick up the scripture in Genesis 32. Look at verse 23. Start there. It says this, and he took them, his family, and sent them over the brook, and sent them over that he had. Now that, okay, let me make sure this is Jacob speaking, and he sends them over the brook. That means he sends Rebekah, he sends all of his children, all his cattle, everything that he possessed, he sent them over the brook, because you know what? He was about to meet with his brother, and he needed God to intervene. You know what? Things get rough when we need God to do something. Things get rough sometimes, and we need God to intervene. And God wants to intervene. But Jacob had set up to be alone with God so that things could happen to him. So he could touch God, and God could touch him and change the situation. Jacob was desperate, because when he left, he was running for his life, knowing that Esau was behind him coming for him. And years later, old Slewfoot is still gnawing at his mind, gnawing at his heart, making him believe that Esau was still mad, still upset with him, and still wanted to kill him. You see, when things are covered up, when trickery comes in, the devil has a playground to work with. And we need to make sure that we alleviate all that stuff, that we don't let those things happen, that we're honest people, that we do what is right according to the Word of God. May not be the best thing with the world, but it's what God says to do. And so Jacob needed some alone time. So look at verse 24 and says, "And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breakage of the day." Verse 25, "And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint, and he wrestled with him." Verse 26, "And he said, let me go, for the day breaks. And he said, I will not let you go, except you bless me. And he said unto him, what is your name? And he said, Jacob. Verse 28, "And he said, your name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince have you power with God and with the men, and have prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray you, your name. And he said, wherefore it is that you do not ask after my name. And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, P-N-I-E-L, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." Okay, let's just stop there. Here we see an amazing event. An amazing event. The scripture says, call upon me and I will answer you. That's amazing to me. All it says is call upon me. Really, if you want to say it this way, all it says is ask of me and I will answer you. Jacob needed an answer from God. Jacob needed God to intervene. The things of God are so simple. We make it complicated. But it's simple. All we got to do is call. All we got to do is ask. It didn't say that Jacob fasted 100 days. Didn't say Jacob fasted 50 days. It didn't say any of those things. All it says in Scripture is that all we got to do is ask. Simplicity is Christianity. It's simple. Simple. Ask. Jacob knew he needed God to intervene. And we've all been there. Huh? Well, we know we need God to intervene. Probably every one of us has been in situations where if God didn't intervene, we didn't know what was going to happen. We would probably be destroyed, done away with, left alone. But you see, God says, call upon him. Jacob was left alone. And yes, I know at times we need to get along with God, just like Jacob did. You might say, well, Pastor, how long? As long as till you get an answer. Jacob, it says that he wrestled with God or the Father for all night. Now, honestly, We know God could have destroyed him in an instant. But you know what the father wanted more than anything with Jacob? Was the fellowship. The time with him. You know what God wants with each and every one of us? It's time. Fellowship. You might say, Pastor, I don't have the time. There has to be something somewheres that you can give to the Lord. We're all busy. I mean, you know, we all have a lot of things to do. I know that. And the more we get into it, the more busy we will be with the world system. But God's saying, separate yourself and come and sit with me. Now, what do you think it was Jacob's idea to have everything go over on the other side of the brook to the other side? All his children, all his cattle, all his possessions. Because he's a very rich man. Do you think it was his idea? Or possibly, could it be God's idea that he put in his mind and heart? Jacob was desperate for a touch of God. We need to be a desperate people for a touch of God. We all can remember times where desperation is on our forehead. We are desperado here, you know. We need the guns. We're desperate. I mean, we are just desperate. We need a touch from God. Where we're thinking, my God, Father, if you don't touch me, it seems like I'm going to die here, spiritually. And maybe even physically, you know, we're thinking. Jacob was in a dire situation for some help. Verse 24, it says, and Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. The man he's talking about is Jehovah God. The man he's talking about is Elohim. The man he's talking about is the God that made everything upon the earth. Can you imagine? I mean, personally, I've never wrestled with God that I know of. I mean, you know, everybody you'd know. But can you imagine? I don't know what Jacob did after he told them to go to the other side of that brook. I don't know what Jacob did. I don't know if he built an altar. I don't know. To the God of Jehovah. I don't know if he, it said everything went to the other side. So I don't know if he thought maybe he sacrificed, kept one animal and sacrificed it. So the aroma of the presence of that would be lifted towards heaven. I don't know what happened. I don't know what drew at this time. But I know this, a broken heart always draws the presence of God. A broken and contrite spirit always draws the presence of God. A haughty spirit, a proud look turns away the presence of God. But a broken spirit brings the presence of God. And I know Jacob was desperate. His heart was broken for God. He needed God to move because all he could think of was that when he would meet with his brother, that his brother was still angry at him, would kill him, kill his children, kill his grandchildren, kill all of his wives, kill all his livestock, everything. That's what was going through his mind. But you see, that's a trick of the devil. He always makes things look worse than what it is. Always. That's one of the tricks that he has in his book, and he can't get away from it. He will make you think that things are worse than what it actually is. But what we need to be reminded is, yes, things may look bad, but we have a God that is with us. We have a God that stands on the side of us. We have a God that fights for us. We have a God that loves us. We have a God that cares for us. And will move mountains if He needs to help us. That's the kind of God we serve. And Jacob, as he was left alone, wrestled a man with him until the breakage of the day. We need some alone time, guys, with Him. When you feel like you can't go on, when you feel like life is just like the sky is just going to fall in and you're going to be destroyed, get alone with Him. You might say, how much time? It doesn't, whatever. I don't know. Everybody's different. But get some alone time with Him. It's an amazing event. For days and days and days, he walked, Jacob, with his family. God never came on the scene with him like that when he was in the midst of a crowd. It's amazing. It's a lesson to learn, guys. God never, never did what he could have done in Jacob's life with everybody around him. With all his family and friends and all that he had around about him. His cattle, everything. God never showed up like he showed up with him when he was alone. Something happens, guys. Something happens on the inside of us. Something happens. It pulls God to us. When we just set that little time, could be 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 30, whatever. Just alone time saying, Father, I need your help. Father, I need for you to intervene. Father, you see my soul. Lord God, I need help. Lord, reveal yourself to me. Father, I have to face this situation. I need for you to go before me. Whatever. As you spend that time alone, God will come in and meet with you and share with you and help you in that situation. Busyness keeps off the Spirit of God. Busyness keeps off the Spirit of God. It says that the Spirit of God is, the Holy Spirit is like a dove. He's gentle. He needs time to come in. And He needs time to work. Some of us have more time than others. But people, I know this, to energize the spirit man on the inside of you like never before, to use you in areas like He wants to use you and I, God needs to rejuvenate that spirit man on the inside of us by the Holy Ghost. Just as when we come together in a church setting, when we come together in a church setting and our eyes are closed and we just concentrate on Him as we feel the Spirit of God come in. It's like it does something on the inside of you and me. It breathes the breath of life. You feel like you can conquer anything, that you can almost do anything. It's like He relieves you of the pressure. He takes the bricks off of the shoulders and He takes the weight off of our hearts. He takes the weight off of our lives. He wants to do that constantly on a daily basis with us. And I know some of us think, well, you know, I'm not that spiritual. I don't know. Just get with Him. Well, you know, I'm not filled with the Holy Spirit. So what? What He's looking for is a soft heart before Him, a tender heart before Him, a heart that hurts when He hurts, a heart that is moved by the Spirit of God. Jacob was moved by the Spirit of God. We have things that are holding us back from becoming what God would want us to be. Jacob could have ran with his family. And into the day he died, he would have been running. But God had him face what he needed to face. Look at verse 25. Let's read that again. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, He touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. Can you imagine God touched him? The hollow of his thigh. And he walked, from what I understood, heard people say he walked with a limp. It doesn't matter. But he was touched. This is a picture of the church. Jacob's almost a picture of the church, or the people, us, in the church body. When we get alone with him, he touches his people. When we get alone with him, he touches his people. When we get alone with God, he touches his people. We're not a handicapped church, the body of Christ. With God, he heals his people. When we get alone with him, whatever amount of time, he touches his people. He's in the business of touching us. And it says that when he touched him, he not only touched his body, but he touched his, he changed his name. My God, he changed his name. You know, can you imagine Jacob? He gets with God. God comes in. My God. I know Jacob had to repent. Say, Father, forgive me for tricking my brother, for tricking my father, for taking what was my brother's, even though God could have changed that situation around very quickly. Everything's okay out there? The Baptist church? Okay, good. She didn't choose to go there over preaching over here. Just yeah, I mean, make that clear, huh? Just let me make that point here. You know, when you have the best, it's hard to go a little lower. You know, it's like... Mr. Leonard was speaking with the Gideons at the Baptist church, and so she went to help him there. But so here we see Jacob and Esau. God not only touched him and changed his life, but also changed his name. It says this, verse 26, and he said, "Let me go, for the day breaks." And he said, "I will not let you go except you bless me." And he said unto him, "What is your name?" Now, I know God knows his name, guys. And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Your name shall be called no more Jacob," which means deceiver or supplanter, "but Israel, a prince of God. For as a prince have you power with God and with men, and have prevailed." When we get alone with God, something happens on the inside of our hearts. When we get alone with God, he touches our hearts. And he changes the situation around. And even changed Jacob's name. And we know the end of the story. It says that when they came, because Jacob kept sending gifts to his brother. And when they came to the point where Jacob and Esau were to meet after years and years of division and trickery and deceitfulness, that the heart of Esau had melted. There was no more anger, no more strife, no more bitterness, no more deceitfulness on both parts. But the heart of Jacob, the heart of Esau had been changed. We know the heart of Jacob was changed, because God not only changed his heart, but changed his name. Changed his name from deceiver to prince of God. We don't realize as we pray and seek the Lord that God is changing things in our town, in our parish. God is moving on your behalf to change not only on the inside of you, but to change what's on the outside also. God wants to move on your behalf. Take the time with him this week. Take the time. And it's going to be hard, honestly. I'm going to tell you right now, as you and the Spirit of God draws you to that place of maybe 10, 15 minutes, you're going to sit down and everything in the house is going to go off. Somebody's going to come visit you that hasn't visited you in 20 years. And you're glad to see them, but just like, okay. The phone's going to ring. Things are going to happen. Whatever. But get over that. Say, Father, I will press in to know you better. Press in. Press in. And you and I are going to see things because as we know, the Spirit of God spoke this morning, the windows has been opened unto us as a church. The window. God has opened up the window. And He's saying, come. Talk with me. Speak to me. Let me touch you. Let me move on your behalf. Let me move upon your family. Let me move in your job. Let me move on your finances. Let me move in your mind. Let me move upon the souls of this area. It's been open to us. All we got to do is ask. All we got to do is call upon Him. And we will see God move like never before. Amen. Why don't you stand, please? Oh, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, Lord, we just thank you, Lord God, for your Spirit. Oh, thank you, Jesus. How great are you, Father? Lord, we thank you for the greatness of our God. Father, Lord, you are a great God. And Father, we would declare your praises unto you this day. Lord, we will do all that we can to further the gospel in this world, Lord. Give us all that we need to get it done. By faith we believe, Lord God, that you're moving upon every situation in every family's life. Lord, you see the things that are happening in their lives, Lord God. The healing that needs to take place. The finances that are needed. The help that is needed, Lord God. And Lord God, move. Father, we're open vessels to your Spirit. And Father, I pray that the Spirit of the living God would flow at will within your people, Lord. Touch them, move within them, and help them this day. Father, I thank you for your people and what you're doing in their lives, Lord God. And Father, we thank you for the harvest that is coming this way. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. We ask you for it, and we just thank you for it, Lord. We give you praise and honor and thanks. Be with your people. Protect them. Lead them and guide them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.